Welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon, life balance coach for better adulting, martial artist, instructor, creative artist, wife, mother, and all-around person. Thank you for joining me on the show as we learn together how to make an impact through personal growth, responding to challenges, making choices, and learning more about our identity, belonging, and purpose. On to the show. Hello and welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon. And today I have a special guest with me. John Goltz is an actor and insurance agent, relatively recently. He is passionate about exploration and loves talking about the world of opportunities available to him to pursue. He is also a wedding DJ, and he loves supporting his alma mater schools, UW-Whitewater, UW-Parkside, especially in the realm of sports. If John came with a warning label, he said it would say unbalanced. I'm looking forward to talking to John about all the things today. Welcome to the show, John Goltz.
Thank you for bringing me on today.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So tell me a little bit about all your world of opportunities. What are you doing right now? What are you up to? I mentioned a few of the things in this little intro here, but what's going on? How's it going?
Well, all right. As you mentioned, most of them, wedding DJing, just started with Aflac within the past month of this recording. I did forget to add that I started taking lessons with Fred Astaire Dance Studios. We got multiple locations.
Dancer too.
Yeah, I got multiple locations around southeastern Wisconsin. My lessons are out of Oak Creek, although I do live the closest to Greenfield.
Okay. So how long have you been acting? Because I know you've been doing a lot of acting in the last couple of years, community theater or things like that. Tell me a little bit about the performance that you do.
I did plenty of middle school camps when I was in, that age. There was a junior production of High School Musical through Pius's Theater Camp when I was in sixth grade. But in seventh grade, there were a group of students at St. Thomas More who put together an independently produced production and directed for Beauty and the Beast Jr. I was cast as LeFou for that.
Nice.
After that, when I got to playing sports more often, because it coincided with basketball, I chose to focus on sports, and that was me throughout most of my high school years. I would do stage crew for musical was in November, and then senior year we had a production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, the classic version, the 90-minuter. And what happened was we did not have enough guys for it. So knowing my devotion, knowing how much I jump into things, I ended up balancing my senior season of football with being in the ensemble of Cinderella. And it ended up being a fun experience. It was a great show. We had a great cast. I'm biased. Most of my friends were leads up. One of my best friends who got me trying to help get recruiting ended up playing stepmother. Although, despite the ugly persona, the actress was actually a nice person in real life. One of my best friends from that time.
That's awesome. I did a lot of theater in high school myself. You mentioned the Pius group, and I actually graduated from Pius. So we had a great theater department back in the day. And I think it has only grown and flourished a lot since then. So you came up, I think, a little bit later than me.
Of course, one of my best friends, who I'm actually watching coach at a volleyball tournament today, she was at Pius. She is a good volleyball coach, great volleyball player, but she was also a talented actress. When they did West Side Story in 2015, which was our senior year, she was Maria.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's awesome. So what do you really like about the theater? What draws you to that? And because you still do some, right, these days?
Quite a bit. I've been in 10 productions since 2021.
Right. That's what I thought I remembered about you.
I couldn't tell you what draws me to it. I think it's just a draw. I mean, I used to enjoy musicals, and that was my summers when I was in college. Then COVID shut everything down. It wasn't until January of 2021 when I got into a one-act fest with the Village Playhouse, that I got back into theater and then just kept going. We'll be able to do one musical since then. That was 1776 this past summer.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's something I really loved about it was the variety of people that were involved. You said you were a football player and, you know, into the sports, but also able to step in and become a theater person too. So the crossing of genres, so to speak, is fascinating to me. Were there any other football players or sports kids that, you know, crossed into theater and embraced it like you?
Believe it or not, there were a couple. One of my friends who was a freshman when I was a senior, his name was Evan, went on to play baseball at Ripon. I think he still plays in a Woodbat League in summers, or at least he did when he was at Ripon. And then funny story, our dance captain for Cinderella also ran cross country. Like, he had extensive dance training, but he also had to run cross country. It's like me, where I had to leave practice 45 minutes early. I'd carry my pads to the theater, which I'm surprised nobody complained about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dance and cross country, my son is running cross country, and the muscle strength that is required for both of those things in the legs, I think that kind of actually makes sense.
I agree.
Yeah. So another thing that I find really interesting about you is your pursuit of sort of all the things. You go from insurance agent by day recently and right now to, you know, tap dancing or ballroom. What kind of dancing are you doing at Fred Astaire to, you know, the sports, so you have this really multifaceted range of interests and personality. So talk a little bit about how that all comes together for you.
For me, it's just a desire and want to stay active. I know that I can get lazy very easily, and I'm not the kind of person who enjoys lying in bed all day. So I want to keep myself as active as possible, enjoying life. I've seen some more negative aspects of people who unfortunately did burn out and, you know, spend time, you know, not enjoying life. So my goal is just to get out, see what I enjoy, and go from there. I mean, with dance and as a note, Fred Astaire, it's more Latin social ballroom. So tango, waltz, cha-cha, swing, bolero, etec. What's my train of thought there?
Right. So not like tap dancing and theater type dancing, but more couples pair kind of dancing.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah. I feel like I've seen a lot of advertisements about like, come learn to ballroom dance for your wedding kind of things for Fred Astaire. So that makes a lot of sense.
I remember growing up with the commercial, you know, the Fred Astaire dance. It was at the back of my mind for several years. And whenever I go down to Southridge, I'd bike down there. I'd pass by the Greenfield location almost all the time.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's really cool is that you kind of just let yourself be pulled into those different directions where then you're like, okay, yeah, let's try it. Why not? Have you had experiences where you tried something and it was, shall we say, like a train wreck? Something didn't really go well or didn't fit great with you?
There's been a couple instances, one of them being in real estate. It was the first thing I did after my MBA. Initially, I saw success covering showings for fellow agents, and I enjoyed it, being on call, being helpful, but I also found that it was kind of tearing me out from what makes a real estate agent successful. And realizing I took the safe path, I felt it safe to walk away because I didn't think I was doing enough. And that's why one of the reasons I'm glad to be with Aflac is that I have a chance to be on another position where I can have that self-employed commission and learn from those mistakes. Of course, it hasn't been easy, but the idea was for me to challenge myself. And that's one thing that I've thought about with my experiences with jobs that I've taken. It's been to challenge myself. I mean, initially wanted to go into college athletics, realized that it wasn't for me, thought about ideas to help the world from outside. I tried a podcast idea of my own, thinking about sponsoring Whitewater and Parkside at some point. But also another thing I tried too was I tutored for AmeriCorps for a year. So I was part of what was called the Reading Corps. I went into one of the Milwaukee schools. I tutored reading to some of the K-3 students. And it was a nice way to tell myself, hey, I can still teach. I didn't think I could after college.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what has been your favorite challenge that has leveled you up the most significantly, would you say?
I would say it has to go back to college athletics. When I initially went to Whitewater, when I got there in the fall of 15, I wanted to play baseball. I knew they had a great program. Of course, Whitewater, for anybody who hasn't heard of Whitewater, their sports programs all around fantastic. Football, baseball, women's basketball is recently national runner-up. But long story short, every sport's usually top tier.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And tried for baseball. Didn't work out. I spent the year kind of licking my wounds. But the next year, I remembered that I wasn't great at my high school, West Dallas Central, either. And I was mostly a cheerleader off the bench. That was mm-hmm. my strength. And I brought that to Whitewater. Next thing I know, I've got friendships across the athletic department. I've got a decent amount of respect. There were some challenges my junior year because now by this point, I'd stayed in the shadow sophomore year. But by junior year, everyone in the department kind of knew who I was. And adjusting to that, you know, people know me now.
Mm-hmm.
And some challenges that happened with the other teams, growing as a fan, growing as a person, to kind of go beyond that sports fan culture of, oh, my team lost, so now I got to be angry for the next 3 days. So there's a lot of learning and growing. And then went to Parkside. I initially was an intern with the athletic department for ticket sales, event staff, basically just saying I was unpaid working in the ticket office. Mm-hmm. And it was okay, but it wasn't what I'd come to enjoy. And it was during this time that I came across a great book, What Made Maddie Run by Kate Fagan. If you haven't read it, fantastic read, especially if you're big in the mental health section.
I'll have to look into that one.
And that's what got me thinking about more entrepreneurship, self-employed, thinking about jobs that could actually be a benefit to my own personal skill set and to society in general. And since then I've continued to support both programs. The night before this recording, I was at Whitewater for a football game against Oshkosh, and we broke our own attendance record. I think we were about 50 short of 19,000, and our capacity is only about 17.5.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's whatever awesome. I can see that you're excited. You're really connected to that world, the athletics, and even more probably the community aspect of it, the people.
One of the best parts about Whitewater is you would think that with all those success, all those accolades, that they would be fairly stuck up, they'd be fairly snobbish, fairly annoying. And most of the people that I've met at Whitewater, most of the coaches were actually alumni. Our current athletic director mm-hmm. was part of their 2005 national championship team in baseball. They're all great people to talk to. I can have conversations with them. It's just nice to come back every year and see if the program's, you know, holding up, especially in light of COVID, where there weren't any fall sports for Whitewater in 2020. They didn't get back into action until February of 21. They couldn't have fans until spring. And even then you had to be on a pass list. But to come back in 2020, 21, 22 and see that success again, obviously fantastic.
Yeah, it feels like part of something, you know, that this shared sort of emotional experience, I would imagine. I'm not personally a huge sports fan myself, but I can relate in our, you know, in our karate community, in my son's athletics, where it's this group of people coming together for this common purpose of growing and pushing themselves, the determination and the you know, that team spirit, it's a powerful force when people come together for that common goal. So I can totally relate to your desire to really be a part of that and go all in.
Thank you. As I mentioned before, you know, just being a part of, especially Whitewater's culture with the success, but also, you know, great people. I was even going to say one more thing on culture and coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Whitewater last year in 21 lost in the semifinals to Mary Hardin Baylor, who's one of the other three top programs in D3 football, the third being Mount Union. And we played Mary Hardin Baylor again at home in the non-conference season. It was a big matchup. I was there for that. We pulled out the win this time around. It was a very close game. They had a chance to go up and beat us again, but they held on the 6-inch line. And then went 99 yards to get the go-ahead touchdown. And I was even talking about it with one of the guys who was a player, who's an alumni now.
Mm-hmm.
That when you look at Whitewater, they're the king of revenge games. We lose to one team in 1 year, the next year we come back, and we know how to take them on and finish the game that time. Walk away the victory.
Yeah. Awesome. And you mentioned something earlier just about being on the bench and being that cheerleader, that connector of, you know, to the people and of the people. How do you bring that into the other aspects of your life and your other interests and pursuits?
That's a great question. I can tell you that with Fred Astaire, they have got many competitions throughout the year. Back in August, I had a chance to compete in part of a formation, so a group instead of just couples on the dance mm-hmm. floor. And a couple days prior to when I was supposed to compete, I actually hightailed from a stand-up comedy open mic that I was doing. I do that on the side just for fun as well.
Oh, just one more thing.
Just one more thing.
Add that to the list.
So I go to the stand-up comedy open mic at the Improv. I hightail to Pottawatomie downtown where the competition's happening, and I'm cheering for my instructors when I get there. I thought I was going to be late, but then I get there. I apologize when I say, oh, no, we're 20 minutes behind. I'm like, what? I thought we were 20 minutes ahead.
Perfect.
So I try to cheer for people that I can as much as I can, not just in, you know, sports, but also dance, but also even theater.
Mm-hmm.
I can't always pay for admission tickets. I can afford it, but I try not to as much as I can because I want to use the money for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll go and usher for a performance. This past weekend before the recording, a good friend of mine, who I've known for a couple of years, who directed a show as part of last summer down in Kenosha, Oedipus, she directed Cabaret with Lake Country Playhouse in Heartland.
Mm-hmm.
The only night I could get to was closing day, which was Sunday afternoon. I volunteered to usher so I could be there for it. And that production of Cabaret was just lights out. Phenomenal acting. I know the director very well, so I knew she could do it, but I had no idea the acting was going to resonate with me on a personal level. It was just perfect. Some of the interactions, especially the actor. I don't know, have you seen Cabaret at all?
Oh, I don't know if I have. If I have, it's been many years.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. I will say mm-hmm. that if you're not a fan of certain mature themes, wouldn't go anywhere near it. It's a darker show. But the interactions between some of the leads, gold.
Yeah. Well, and especially with dealing with a more mature subject matter as well, like there is this level of commitment that the actors have to make to do what they need to do on stage. So, yeah, I can imagine it would be a powerful show when done very well, and possibly a train wreck if done poorly.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I think it's beautiful because so many people need that cheerleader, and we don't do it. I don't think we do it nearly enough in real life, in just like our friendships or relationships, or just encouraging somebody, you know, who's doing something neat or is putting them putting themselves out there in a way that you know would challenge a lot of people. So I think just the fact that you're out there in the world cheering people on just for who they are and what they're choosing to do, that's awesome, because that's what I like to do too.
Thank you. I feel like I could be doing a better job of it at points because it's only been things that I've enjoyed, but I've started making changes here and there. In fact, one thing that I did a couple times on my Facebook page to promote other businesses where I would take pictures of business cards, I'd share them on my Facebook page to see if I could get someone interested. I brought that back when I started working with Aflac. I took some pictures from a tattoo salon in Hales Corners, and I posted them on my Facebook page to see if I could get interest. And what's also funny is I've got a friend from women's basketball at Whitewater who's now a tattoo artist in Janesville. So just happened to be a nice coincidence.
And being a natural connector like you are, who's just open and wanting to do new things, experience different things, and meet all sorts of different people, I think that's great. And I know the people who are not as out there, the more introverted among us, they really appreciate that, just that shout out or that connection, that helping hand or that round of applause, because it is so easy to get caught up in our own negative negative self-talk saying like, oh, well, nobody really cares about what I'm doing. And the truth is like, it's really important what each of us are doing. we all have stories that need to be told. So now you mentioned the comedy open mic, the stand-up. So that is something that I think would terrify most people. So coming from a theater background, it's not entirely surprising that you would try your hand at comedy. But what was the experience like getting into that?
It was a little interesting for me. I can be fairly serious minded from time to time. Like, I'll lighten up every now and then, but for the most part, it's my always learning mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, you know, fun and outgoing. So I thought trying stand-up comedy would be a nice outlet for me. In fact, senior year at Whitewater for homecoming, I was part of American Marketing Association. As co-VP of sports marketing, it was my job to help try and get people involved in homecoming. So we had the talent show that year. I couldn't do a group, so I just hit, if you've ever seen the MCU, Thanos, final do it myself, and decided to do a stand-up comedy routine. I actually walked out of that audition thinking, you know what? Worth a shot, they're not going to put me in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I take third place on behalf of the large groups, and I accidentally lock myself out of the auditorium, so my co-VP has to accept the award for me.
So that's a little bit of comedy right there.
And then I just kind of let it sit for a couple of years. Then I saw the improv going up at the corners of Brookfield, mm-hmm. and I thought it was fairly cool. So I started looking at open mics. I found one on Sunday nights at Rounding Third's little bar out by the Brewers ballpark, American Family Field, Miller Park, whatever the hell you want to call it these days.
Yeah.
Started going to that and just started making a habit of getting to at least one a week whenever I could. I mean, theater recently, I was off for a month because of production that I just wrapped up in Menominee Falls, the musical comedy Murders of 1940. And now I'm doing Christmas Carol up in West Bend because I needed actors. I'm getting roped in to play Nephew Fred.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of open mics out there to go to. There's the Laughing Tap on 5th. Used to be a Sprecher Brewery. It's just south of the Holly Museum. Improv's got an open mic. That's where I was. We had to hightail it out to Pottawatomie. There's the High Notes, a karaoke bar on James Lovell Street. They do Tuesday and Fridays. Interchange Theater Co-op. It's a little red brick church just off. It's in a little red brick church just off the Marquette campus. That's a Thursday nighter, along with an improv session beforehand. And they're adding a few here and there from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a question came to me just listening to you just off the top of your head, list off all these different places that you know of, whether you've been to all of them or not, you're aware of them, they're on your radar. And so it's not just the comedy, it's the acting, it's the, you know, the day job, the insurance, it's the dancing, it's the sports. How do you keep track of everything?
Honestly, it just comes to me. Sometimes I know it. And as I mentioned with the unbalanced label, recently, I've started to see myself getting a little more tired. Mm-hmm. It's just because of a few mental clarity issues with, you know, running around everywhere and starting mm-hmm. to think about, you know, settling down. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to be active anymore, but what I am saying is I want to be active, but I want to start scheduling blocks. For example, I started learning wedding DJing in August, so I have to go all the way through their wedding season. But what I'm thinking, and hope this comes true, but if I keep this up next summer, the idea would be do it May through August, and then maybe one in September, one October, one November wedding, so I can have more time to be around college athletics within the school season.
Yeah.
And then even with theater, maybe only keep myself to 2 or 3 performances a year. I mean, I'm on show 4 this year. First one was assistant director
mm-hmm.
this year, back in April.
Yeah, so, I guess sometimes it does come from knowing what's too much before you can kind of know what's just right, not enough. You seem like the type of person that is just like, yeah, I gotta try all the things. And yep. Now it sounds like what's happening is you're entering this season of, let me prioritize, let me figure out what it is that is the most fun and go in on that. Is that kind of the case?
Pretty much. I'd like to keep up with all this as much as I can, but I also know that I can't live in the past for sports, for example. I've limited myself to a couple of events per year with each sport and each school,
mm-hmm.
Whitewater and Parkside, just to show myself, hey, I don't need to keep living in the past. Time to move forward. But at the same time, I like coming back to check in every now and then, see what's going on with everything.
Well, and if you're still enjoying and getting, you know, getting fulfillment, feeling good about what you're doing and what your roles are in those spaces, there's nothing wrong with continuing to be where you've been. It's just the role evolves, or the connection to it evolves in different ways, which I think is great. And, you know, like you say, eventually you kind of get that, you hit that wall, or it begins to be too much, where it's a necessity that you have to scale back a little bit in different areas, which doesn't mean you have to give anything up necessarily, but just make sure, like you said, block your time and be a little more maybe intentional with it.
Exactly, especially with the new job with Aflac. Obviously, again, self-employed, commission-based, I'm starting to think about how I can overcome one of those things. And one of the things I did was that this morning, I joined the Greenfield Chamber of Commerce.
Well, congratulations. Your dad's been a member for a while.
President in 2000.
Yeah.
Or somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I figured joining up would help me connect with a few businesses and help me, you know, expand my client bases. I will be the first to admit you are talking to one of the absolute worst cold callers on the planet.
And that's a tough thing to be in insurance. But you know what, John, I think just from our conversation and from talking to you, like, it seems like you're the kind of person, you put your mind to something, I'm going to make this happen, and you're going to push yourself outside your comfort zone. And maybe if we talk again in a year, you'll be one of the best cold callers I know.
Perhaps. I know I've also been working on other ways to, you know, expand my reach, as I mentioned, with joining Greenfield Chamber, with picking up my social media practice again. Working on how can I compensate for what I already, how can I complement my weaknesses? How can I use my strengths to balance that out and then work on my weaknesses from there?
Right. Those strengths of giving and pouring into other people, of cheerleading and encouraging, I think those are going to really set you up for some good success, you know, as your network grows and your connections expand more and more. So that's great. And I think it's going to be awesome. So we're coming kind of down to the end of our time together. Is there anything you'd like to talk about that we didn't discuss? I think this conversation was great. Thank you for sharing all of the things you're doing. If you want to leave my audience a little maybe challenge on growth or something that you would invite them to try that maybe most people haven't before, or just some closing thoughts.
I'm going to say, for a challenge, if there's something that whoever this listener is, if there's something that you enjoy that you wanted to try, but something's holding you back, find a way to try it anyway and see what happens. You don't have to go 100% in, just start with something small. I mean, for example, with dance, not exactly a cheap hobby. I will say that. And what I did was initially just did my introductory lesson. I did a couple of introductory lessons, and then a couple months later, I found where I'm at now, and just, you know, kept going, staying with it. And I love the energy of the people out there, the point where when I had a transition and had to scale back from lessons, all I was able to do was just go from two lessons a week to one, because I had to do so. So just finding ways to try something you haven't tried before, something you've wanted to try, haven't had a chance to do it because of something holding you back, and just try some little bit of it and just build up. I follow plenty of entrepreneurship gurus on Instagram, and one of them, Anik Singhal, has talked about eating an elephant. So how do you eat an elephant one bit at a time?
Yep, I tell my kids that all the time, because things can seem really overwhelming, you know, especially if you tell yourself that, I have to go all in, or it has to be a certain way. And I think you're absolutely right. And I talk about that as well, is that, like, find that entry point. You want to dance? Dance on TikTok. See what happens, right? Like, if you want to dance, find some, you know, like, an intro lesson is not going to cost much, a little bit of time and the courage to put yourself out there, right? So, you know, it never hurts to try something once, and you get to choose whether you stick with it or not. And you might find something you really enjoy. I love that. Thank you for sharing. Anything else you want to add? Can we, where can we find you on social media, or if somebody would want to get connected with you?
Sounds good. I'm on Facebook. I have my personal page, John Goltz. I have my business page, which is John Goltz Business Professional. I have a LinkedIn, my Instagram, Coach Goltz 23, and Goltz Business Pro. I have Twitter, Coach Goltz 23. I am on TikTok, also Goltz Business Pro. I record a lot of fitness videos. I've started adding some speaking vids in there, as I'd like to do
wow.
a bit more speaking down the road if I can.
Yeah, awesome. TikTok
as a start.
Well, yeah. I'm going to ask you to make sure you send me all those links, and I will put them in the show notes because I can't write fast enough. And I'll make sure to link you up in the show notes. John Goltz, thank you for talking to me today. It was a great conversation, and I hope that it was fun for you, and we'll be in touch because I'll see you around the chamber. So have a great rest of your Saturday.
I will, Sarah. Thank you.